The look she is going for is Lauren Bacall. That was the plan, anyway. Blood red lipstick, come hither eyes, and hair with waves to knock the sea legs out from under any man. What Jenny Ebert has achieved after 4 hours on a packed train and 30 minutes standing in the hammering downpour is more drowned rat. The midnight blue silk dress she had bought for a song at a charity shop near home and poured herself into seems to have hitched up and twisted in all the wrong places. And she's sure it's shrunk in the rain, meaning she's in danger of pouring herself out of it. The shoes to die for are slowly and sadistically killing her. And the fog of hairspray she had employed to keep her hair ice cool and Hitchcock blonde is now running in chemical rivulets down her forehead and into her eyes, stinging them and blurring her vision. Jenny looks down at her bags and considers digging in them for either her umbrella or her anorak. Would Bacall do that? No, she would not. She'd probably have a dozen men fighting to hold umbrellas for her. She looks around, but there's not a Humphrey Bogart in sight on the concrete apron in front of Morecambe train station. Instead, there are small knots of students waiting with their few new starters cases and cardboard boxes of kettles and toasters and books, those who didn't have the luxury of parents to drive them straight to their halls, or second and third years who are returning on this cold and wet October morning to already established digs. Which of these will be her new friend, she wonders. She looks around the gathered tribes, the goths and the emos, the loners and the geeks. Mentally, she puts a cross by each of them, looking around for people like her. People like she is now. The cool people, the night people, the ones for whom style and class are effortless. Oh, that reminds her. She opens the small black leather handbag dangling from her shoulder and pulls out the packet of Gaulois and a Zippo lighter. Attention to detail, that's the thing. She doesn't even smoke, not properly, but she's been practicing just enough that she doesn't lapse into a choking fit on the first drag now. As nonchalantly as possible, Jenny pulls a cigarette from the pack and hangs it loosely from those blood-red lips, flicking the top on the Zippo. The lighter is advertised as wind and rainproof, and it does indeed burst into flame, cool and blue, just like her. But the cigarette is already sodden and won't take, and it gets even wetter when a cab pulls up sharply in front of her, its tyres sending a shower of rainwater over her from the puddles forming on the tarmac in front of the station building. Jenny coolly gives the cigarette one more try, sucking on it hard as it catches reluctantly and immediately lapses into a choking coughing fit. The driver leans over and winds down the passenger window, looking her up and down.
You'll catch your death standing there like that.
Yes, gasps Jenny, the puddle water dripping from her nose. She coughs one more time, so hard she thinks she might throw up.
No thanks to you. University, is it, love?
The driver, a big man in his 40s, estimates Jenny, brushing the crumbs of a just-imbibed pasty from a belly straining the buttons of his shirt.
Coin me own throat here, but there'll be a minibus along in a minute going straight to the campus, free for students.
I'm not staying on campus, says Jenny, and through the open window hands him a scrap of paper bearing the address of her new home. Not yet. They're still building the accommodation blocks. I'm staying here until it's finished.
She realises she's talking too much.
Sultry and mysterious, Jenny Ebert. Sultry and mysterious.
He looks at the piece of paper for a second and then shrugs.
OK.
He reaches under the dashboard and pulls a lever. The boot clicks open.
Let's get your stuff in the back.
Jenny watches as he loads up the boot with her cases, but she keeps a tight hold on one green sports bag, clanking metallically.
I'll carry this with me, she says.
Family silver, is it?
Laughs the driver.
Let's get you moving, then.
Jenny climbs into the back seat, because that's what Bacall would do.
She wouldn't sit up front, even in a knackered old Vauxhall Astra, because she had class. The driver gets into the driver's seat and punches the buttons on the dashboard meter.
Bloody awful weather!
On the dashboard beside his meter is his Hackney carriage licence, sporting a washed-out photograph that makes him look as if he's being hunted by the police for escaping from prison, and the name Kevin O'Donnell. Jenny looks out of the window at a gaggle of girls with stripy tights, face piercings, and blue and pink hair falling over the shoulders of their uniform black T-shirts. As Kevin pulls away from the station forecourt, he says,
"You'll be going out to the pub tonight, drinking snake bite and black? That's what students drink, isn't it? Snakey and black. You're first, yeah? Never went to university myself."
Jenny sighs with the realisation that she isn't going to get through this drive without conversation. She glances at his meaty left arm as he changes gear, at the faded tattoo that says Moira on a banner wrapped around a heart that is dripping with blood. She wonders if this is because he loves Moira or because he hates her, because she's squeezed his heart dry. She looks back through the window at a squabble of seagulls rising up noisily over the black slate roof of a down-at-heel hotel.
"Second year. But I'm new to the University of North Lancashire. I did a year at Loughborough, but I've transferred."
"Never been to Loughborough,"
sniffs Kevin as they turn onto the seafront.
"East Midlands, isn't it? Never been there. Always strikes me as a boring sort of place, the Midlands. Neither one thing nor the other. Is that why you left? Too boring?"